A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm On The Go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
At the start of every episode of South Park, they have a warning. I don't know if you've ever slowed it down to read it, but the bottom line of the warning is, as a result of how crap this show is, it should never be watched by anybody under any circumstances. I'm paraphrasing, but I just want to give you that warning at the start of Owen putting what he's about to put on the OTB AM agenda this morning. Be warned. Owen, what are you putting on the OTB AM agenda this morning? Good morning to you. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. I'm putting something on the AM agenda to dispel the age-old OTB AM agenda that has been peddled by you, Ger Gilroy. The rivalry between Munster and Leinster is back. And to be honest with you, it never truly went away. Rumours of its demise, propagated by you, were always and always, like without exception, I can't think of a single exception that they weren't greatly exaggerated. It's back, it's going to be better than ever, don't get me wrong. But it never really went away. The amount of nonsense that was spouted by you over the last few years was obviously of an extraordinary proportion. But I think you will feel more and more silly as these next few months progress. And they play each other this weekend. So what a better time to have this conversation.
So what I'm going to say to that is we've got Adrian Barry with us this morning, I believe. Adrian, good morning to you.
Oh. Morning, lads. How you doing?
The heavy guns are out. Leinster superfan Adrian Barry is here, I should specify. He's parked his journalism. He's put it in his back pocket. And he's
here. The match programme behind me, Jar, that dispels that notion.
He's here to fight the good fight. Owen, what is the central thesis of your nonsense?
The central thesis has been building for quite some time. We haven't really got into this. You know, we don't really get on anymore after your Joey Carberry nonsense a couple of years ago. It hurts me. It hurts a lot of Munster people that you called the rivalry dead. You didn't say that it was dying. You said it was dead. You said that Munster versus Leinster games are training games. I think that's been proven to be such nonsense with the standard of games that we've seen, with the intensity that exists between the teams, and what is now going to be hopefully another golden age of this rivalry, but in a very different way to how the previous golden age was constructed. So the previous golden age, in your opinion, I would assume, is based on the fact that you had people from Munster going up against people from Leinster. Am I correct in saying that, first of all?
Don't be trying to like be a lawyer making your case here. You make your case on its own merits here without trying to finagle my nonsense into yours. No, you know, I'm not telling you what I think. I'll tell you what I think at the end. Go.
Well, the first step is accepting that it is your nonsense that you will be finagling into the argument. I just don't buy, and I never have bought, this idea that any movement of players within this island from one province to another will diminish a rivalry on one condition, and that condition is that the teams involved in the rivalry are good at rugby. The main reason, and there is nothing that comes close to this reason, that we had such an amazing rivalry between Munster and Leinster in the 2000s, culminating in 82,000 people watching them play rugby in Croke Park, was the fact that Munster and Leinster were two of the best teams in Europe, if not the two best teams in Europe. That is down to quality and quality alone. If Munster can get good again and improve every single season, and that is happening, we've seen the signings that they've made. We look at Demi Ndiaye, we look at RG Snyman, hopefully coming back next season, two World Cup winners in that team. It doesn't matter where they're from, but what does matter is that they're helping Munster get good again. And if they can get back to close to the top of the pile in Europe once again, I am saying that the rivalry will be back with no exception.
Are they from Connacht?
No, they're from South Africa, Ger.
Are they from Ulster?
No, they're from South Africa. They won the World Cup there. Razzy Erasmus was their coach.
So it matters. It matters that they're from a World Cup winning team, and they're not Irish.
I'm saying that it doesn't matter where you're from. You can get the idea of a rivalry, and that fans will get behind you, even if you're a Leinster product who's coming down to Munster, who couldn't get his game for Leinster, or whether you're somebody who's travelled 14,000 kilometres to Thomond Park to line out for Munster. It's all the same. As long as you are good and as long as you are winning, the support will get behind you. And if the support is getting behind you and you're up against another team who happen to be your neighbours going toe-to-toe, you have a rivalry. And I think that this whole conversation just probably got to a point of ridiculousness over the last few years that it was somehow dead. It wasn't dead. It was a one-sided rivalry, but it was still a rivalry.
Adrian?
I find myself in the unusual position in that I probably think, and short of actually hearing your argument, Jared, that maybe you're both right, or certainly there's elements of what both you're saying will be right. I think that, like, even the very definition of rivalry, what is it exactly we're talking about? Like, I think for me, it breaks into three categories. You've got the full, holistic, everything, you know, kill the opposition, holistic rivalry that probably Leinster and Munster once was in the 2000s into the early 2010s. In a way that you couldn't say we quite have that at the minute. You've got the fans' rivalry. It obviously ticks that box every day of the week. And then the third leg of the chair is the players' rivalry. And that's probably dissipated. It's an important part of this conversation. That's probably dissipated over the last number of years, you know, regardless of where the teams are from, regardless of the history, like that sort of Arsenal United thing, let's say in the 90s, 2000s, like, but that ship has probably sailed, right? Like, in terms of the movement of players, and that notion in itself, I think, is going to become a very twee thing in years to come, where the younger players that are been passed on, like, that's learned now for the younger players, right? Like, for the people who would have been diehard Leinster or Munster fans in the, maybe not so much the 90s, maybe the late 90s, 2000s, 2010s, are passing that on to their kids, and they have to learn that, because that won't be something they're familiar with. That ship has definitely sailed in terms of the structure of Irish rugby. So I think you have to break it out. I think that it isn't currently the rivalry that it once was. I don't think it's ever going back to that depth of rivalry. It's not, you couldn't call it a competitive rivalry at the minute. I was interested to hear Owen refer to that at the start. You only have to look at recent results over the last five or six seasons. Munster have performed least well of all the provinces against Leinster. They've only beaten them twice. Connacht have beaten them four times. Ulster have beaten them three times. So you couldn't say that Munster are even competitively Leinster's biggest rivals in the country at the minute. So I think you'd have to remove that. That will come back. I was reading one of these programmes behind me last night, one from the 06 semi-final and one from 09. Tony Ward was talking about the games. First ever game between Leinster and Munster was 1876. Leinster went on to dominate it. They won 53 the first 58 games. The wheel turns, and it'll turn again in terms of the competitive rivalry, but we're never going back to the depth of that holistic rivalry that we had in the 2000s and into the 2010s.
Why not?
It's because of that holistic aspect of it, that, like, at that time...
Stop using the word holistic and tell me what you mean.
So, that's what I explained at the start, that the players' aspect of it, so that third wheel...
You've asked the questions, let me finish.
The players' aspect of it, like, there were such outliers at that time, so you would have spoken about the likes of Trevor Hogan, let's say, or maybe a Stephen Keogh. There were such outliers, and people kind of felt like, Jesus, it was nearly sacrilege if that would happen. But then you look through the years and how much that's increased. So you have the likes of, do you remember the Felix Jones going to Munster stuff? That was probably the next generation after that. Michael Checa losing the plot that he was, you know, going to an inferior province, as he would have seen it at the time. Andrew Conway, those players become more Munster in so many ways than Munster themselves. And now, obviously, forward to the Joey Carberry thing.
But hang on,
and movement of
players. No, because you're right. I think you're getting to know something. The rivalry between the players in the noughties was so intense, and it was a product, it was symbiotic with the fans, right? And that's what drove everybody on. This is the period where Irish rugby was no good, and then this rivalry happens, and suddenly Irish rugby gets good. I would argue, off the back of this Munster team being brilliant, that Munster team is the founding text of modern Irish professional rugby. And what we're doing when we muck around with the, oh, you can play there, and you can play there, and you can go there, and you can go there, it doesn't really matter, is we're killing the potential for that group to hate this group. And when that happens, there's no point to it. You're right. The rivalry will never be as intense again if we continue to do that. However, what you're starting to see is that the IRFU appear to have, like, said, okay, we're going to stop doing that. Because there are loads of Leinster players at the moment who you could see playing for Munster. It'll be interesting to see what happens with these new contracts, but fingers crossed, none of them end up playing for Munster, because Munster seem to have got an array of talent coming through at a younger age who are Munster products to almost entirely, with a few exceptions. And they will have that identity, and they should have that hatred. And we should be looking for that holistic rivalry to come back the way you've described it there. That is exactly what we should be looking for.
I'd love it to come back, but I don't think it'd be, like we yearn for those days, but I just think that structurally, I think the day that Rob Kearney stood up in Enfield and tackled all the players to put country before province, it had started to dissipate already at that stage. Like, yes, when they crossed the whitewash, it's do or die.
That rivalry between the players, you can drive each other, you can hate each other for your clubs, and you can still play well for your country. I don't think that it has any impact on the national team. If Leinster and Munster kill each other and hate each other, that's actually good for the Irish team, I would argue.
And that has been happening. When we look at the last couple of games, even though the competitive balance has been in Leinster's favour because they've been so much better over the last few years, we have still seen moments in this rivalry that have been full of fire. That would be well in place with the mid-2000s to late-2000s rivalry. Johnny Sexton flinging Joey Carberry to the ground. As I say, De Allende coming in his first act as a player in a Munster-Leinster game is to go out and try and injure Johnny Sexton with a cheap shot right into his back. Johnny Sexton then, a few minutes later, wins a scrum penalty.
Hang on, you just talked about Johnny Sexton. Is there anybody else who fits the bill? Anybody else? Take Sexton out of this. Is there anybody else who's got the rivalry at the same intensity, who actually is a link to that same era, Owen? Anybody else? Give me anybody.
Well, the entire team is. It was a full brawl that night in Thomond Park. And Sexton throwing Carberry to the ground was like the end of the brawl. Sexton comes in late and actually pulls Carberry down. Did they just accidentally mesh together on the sideline, off the pitch, actually, as a matter of fact? No, they didn't. There was a huge schmozzle that night, which was very curious because it came not long after you said...
His line's going. How unfortunate.
Archive. There was my line going.
Just a bit there.
This is it. This is Munster Wi-Fi. That's what it does for you. All the resources have been pumped into our academies, and we don't have good Wi-Fi. I was looking back at some of the archive yesterday, sure, and I'm going to have to play this for you. This is our conversation in 2018, the peak of this discussion when Carberry had gone to Munster and, oh no, Leinster were losing their son of a thigh, and oh no, the rivalry was about to dead. Let's remind ourselves of the conversation between myself and Ger.
Like, at what point does the rivalry matter? It doesn't matter anymore. This is the end of it. Well, there's a real bite to this St. Stephen's Day fixture where the two teams are like best of buddies. They all went to the same schools, and who knows, they might all end up on the same club team next year. But are you going to tune into those games now and go, no, there's a proper bite in this? I really can't wait to see what happens here. I'll be like...
Of course I am. They're fighting against each other for places on the plane to...
We're watching a training session now.
No, we're not.
We are.
That's nonsense. We are not watching a training session. Like,
effectively, we're watching training sessions. Oh, and what do we do to you? You look so young.
I love the way it's been in the middle of that. It's like they're fighting together for places on the plane to Japan, and it's going to be such a success, and we're going to get past the quarterfinal. So I would accept that my rationale was completely incorrect to allow players to play wherever they want to ensure that the Ireland team is better, because obviously that gets us nowhere. And we should probably, I agree, we should value the rivalry that exists between Leinster and Munster. But my point is that the movement of a high-profile player from one province to the other has actually done nothing to kill the rivalry. And I actually think that when Carberry comes back, hopefully fully fit, and plays a few games against Leinster, there will be a nice bit of needle between the teams. So he'll actually accelerate the rivalry, I think, to the next level once again.
Let's wait and see. Is the Leinster-Munster rivalry dead? We asked our Instagram account. Jimmy McCullough, never. Deadish, says Collins. Only because Leinster have been noticeably better for a long time. I'm a Munster fan. Heated rivalry will return when the fixture becomes regularly competitive again. Exactly. Definitely not dead. Sure, it's less present, but it's still one of the biggest rivalries of rugby union, says Oscar. Dormant, says Jarrett. The characters are fast disappearing. Everyone is so bloody nice. With O'Mahony and Sexton getting older, it won't be the same when they retire, says Cody. Ruined by the IRFU, who always schedule the game during an international rest period. This is another point. Tyke Fanning says the rivalry will always be there, but Munster need a win this Saturday, which I think they will. The bite slipped perhaps in recent years, but it's clearly very much back, says Conor O'Sullivan. Harry Clancy, disagree. It's the biggest game... Both sets of fans want to win the most. The IRFU player control is the only thing that takes away from it. Still the biggest club rivalry in the world, for example, in Thomond in 2018. My point was that they have this very special, precarious thing, which is a rivalry between these two clubs where they want to slit each other's throats, and they're still, like, in fairness, the coaches have done their best to bring it back up, where there's this beef about Munster's playing style, where Van Graan had this kind of quite subtle dig about Leinster using Munster's style to beat Ulster a couple of weeks ago. That's what you need. You need this to be salty. You need it. But you can't have it if next season Munster's back row is Will Connors and Scott Penny and Dan Levy. I'm not having that. You can't have that. And we were on the road to that, but I think because there was a backlash to it, that slowed down.
We're not on the road to that.
We were,
they said that if you want to play for Ireland, you've got to play for Munster. We were 100% on the road to that.
You can have that, by the way. You can have a version of it. Like, all you have to do is look at Liverpool United the other week. One player from each side that was actually had any depth of relationship to either team. And it exists as a monster rivalry. The fan, great comments from the viewers that have come in there. Most of them are absolutely bang on the money. The fans' hatred will continue. Like I mentioned about the recent record of the other provinces been better against Leinster than Munster has been over the last 5 or 6 years. It's still the best rugby rivalry in Ireland. And I can't ever see that changing.
I don't think, Ger, with all due respect, that the Will Connors, the Dan Levy situation would ever have materialised, because they are close to being first choice. Let's not forget that when Joey Carberry left Leinster, there was a debate about whether or not himself or Ross Byrne was actually favoured as somebody to come off the bench and actually be the back of 10.
There was no debate. Nobody thinks Ross Byrne is as good as Joey Carberry in terms of skill. We were shoehorning Joey Carberry into the Ireland team as a fullback or as a centre or getting him as much game time as possible. There was no debate. He was clearly a substitute
because of the kicking, Ger. You're making stuff up if you say there was no debate, because it's a fact.
Everybody knows Joey Carberry is the natural successor at 10. He is one of our best skilled players. If he was fit, he would be in the team, irrespective of whether or not Johnny Sexton was fit.
The debate was about Ross Byrne as a place kicker, if Johnny Sexton ever got injured.
What's the importance of the place kicker
bit? Coming off?
Like,
because Ross Byrne apparently was seen as the better place kicker at the time. Regardless of that, one thing that we can definitely agree on is that Joey Carberry was not getting anywhere near that starting team if everybody was fit, because Rob Kearney was playing well and because Johnny Sexton was in his World Player of the Year standard. I don't buy it.
Heading into the World Cup, if he was fit, they would have found a way to get him in the team. As a first receiver, they would have played him at 12, or they would have played him at fullback eventually, because they weren't going to win the World Cup with the same team.
Ahead of Henshaw, Ringrose, Kearney, Sexton, he would have played ahead of one of those.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't know, because you haven't played the games out. We haven't seen those games, so we don't know where he was going to evolve into, what the best way to get it. They tried to play Henshaw at full back in a Six Nations game, Owen. Are you telling me that they wouldn't have found role for Joey Carberry in the team? They absolutely would have. They were dying. They forced him to play. They brought him to the World Cup when he wasn't fit. They made a terrible mistake in terms of his long-term future by bringing him to the World Cup when he wasn't fit and playing him when he wasn't fit. And it set him back to the point where he's barely played since. That's how much they wanted him in the team. He was a huge player for them.
Just to finish my point, and this is my opinion, is that I don't think that was going to happen. I don't think on the biggest European stage he was actually going to start a game, whereas he was going to get that immediately with Munster. Whereas with Will Connors, Dan Levy in that back row, given the attrition of the position, given the turnover in the position, I think Leinster could have made a case to all of those, even if the list is 5 or 6 players, that, yeah, there's a good chance you're going to start European games, and that position is so fluctuating. So that's my point on that. That's why I think it's not the same.
Adrian?
What are we debating? What did we start out debating here? What are we debating currently? The rivalry isn't clearly, you can't debate that the rivalry clearly is not what it once was. And in my opinion, it's never going back to where it was. There were glory days. They'll be spoken about in hushed tones for years to come. And that'll be our Munster All Blacks in the years ahead. Jerry will be talking to the kids and the grandkids about it. But it's never going back there. I think it'll continue to be, however, the biggest and best and most intense, and hopefully at some point soon, a bit more competitive rivalry that Irish rugby has.
When you say it's never going back there, should we be trying to get it back there?
I don't believe so, no. I think that structurally that we're just not set up to do that, because so to achieve that, right, you're talking about having, I don't know, maybe largely or solely players from those provinces playing for those provinces.
I'm saying that there should never be a case where a player is forced to move, or multiple players are forced to move from one to the other, because unless if someone, so Owen Redden, perfect example, spat out of the system in Munster and then becomes a Leinster legend, 100% fine with that. It's the same with Conway, spat out of the system at Leinster and then goes on to become Tygburn, the same. They're
the
free agents.
Is,
it's a completely
the
different situation.
Then is that that's not the best thing for Irish rugby, essentially. Like, if you look at the likes of John Cooley.
I'm actually arguing this. I think we're wrong about that. I think what we've seen is that we have the David Nusafora vision where he is God and he decides what the future of every individual player is going to be on the basis of what's good for Irish rugby. But where are the results? Where's his place in a World Cup final or a World Cup semi-final?
Well,
absolutely. So that model was worth persevering with. We tried it, it didn't work. What about if we actually made four amazing provinces who try to kill each other all the time, and the team comes from the best current players who are fit and available? And that's our, as opposed to we've got this core group of players who we manage their minutes to the point where actually we don't know if they're in form or not, because we just assume they are because they showed four or five good games in a row when they were 20, 21, 22, and then suddenly they're in our elite pool and nobody else can ever make it into that elite pool because you never play with a good team.
I think the model itself may not be entirely flawed, obviously, is the thing. And like the biggest head-scratcher, the biggest conundrum to get around is like when you have a stack of players, like let's say, look at all the Leinster players, Leinster-originated players that are at all the provinces at the minute. Bring them back to Leinster. Like, how much do you weaken all the other provinces, and how much do you...
I'm not saying that, though. They're not players who were forced to move. There's a significant difference between a player who comes through the system and doesn't make it and then goes off to play professional rugby wherever they can. No one has any problems with that.
Is that not an outlier? Is the Joey Carberry one not an outlier?
But it wasn't.
Was he forced to move?
I mean, they're not going to say he was forced to move, but essentially it was like, well, unless you're playing full-time at 10, you're not going to come to the World Cup.
Like, I think mostly those conversations are John Cooney-type conversations or Jack McGrath, where it's like, listen, you can continue here and we're going to get you some game time and you'll develop along, or you could head over there and you'll be playing week in, week out. You've got a far better chance of putting your foot in the door for the Irish team. Like, it's hard to... I don't know. It seemed to me not to be the right thing, and certainly a hard situation to reverse out of now.
It doesn't take a genius to know that you are going to stand less of a chance to play for the national team unless you are playing every week for your province. So Joey Carberry surely knew himself that moving to Munster would increase his opportunities with the Irish team. He got to start in the biggest European nights when he was fit for Munster and he played really well. He was enjoying his rugby, and I think that's actually a bit of an oversight. And I do think it is in the interests of David Nusafora to have a rivalry here between Munster and Leinster. As artificial as you think it may be, I think having those two provinces being really strong is really important.
It's not
regardless
artificial.
Regardless of all the other factors, as long as those two provinces are strong, there will be supporters to get behind it.
It's a real thing, and you need to tend to it and you need to mind it, because so much springs from it. Munster's identity, Leinster's identity needs to be incredibly strong. And what happens when you start going and playing Harlem Globetrotters with the individuals involved is that becomes far less important to the individuals. And as fans, you're like, well, I was cheering for that guy last week, and
Is that this one point on that, right? And the last one for me is that the Liverpool United rivalry. Do you remember Roy Keane a couple of years ago, raging at the dying of the light, where there was, before the game, players on both sides hugging and kissing and high-fiving, and he was absolutely disgusted in the studio afterwards. Like, is that not the comparison, that the rivalry still is like furnace hot, but it doesn't have that element of having the players that are deeply associated with either city per se?
One, I think it's apples and oranges, because all of the players who play for Manchester United and Liverpool are contracted to Manchester United and Liverpool. The best players who play for Munster and Leinster are actually contracted to the same employer. So you already have this weird scenario where you are picking from this group to pick the Ireland team. And so I don't think you can compare them. But like, do we want to go the way of Premier League football? Is that what you want the future of Irish rugby to be? And was it furnace hot? Really? The nil draw
and
the last
fans,
number
look,
of...
Look at Andy Mitten. Listen to Andy Mitten over the last week, before the game and after the game, the nerves and the desperation to not lose, which is another one that comes up in those 09 and 06 programmes. The desperation to not lose, to lose the game. So it does exist. I think it probably is most likely to go in that Premier League route, to be honest. I think that is the most likely.
But do you think that Leinster fans still feel that way about Munster?
that they dislike them.
Well, that they still feel that kind of pain in the pit of their stomach about what's coming next. I don't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely do. Yeah, that's
over the last number of years where it's been fairly routine stuff.
Well, you've got to think about the fact that this is one of the greatest teams in the history of Irish sport ever, about to get knocked off their perch. And Adrian, that would be the question that I would have for you as somebody who's seen this up close and personal. Would you be worried about Munster becoming one of the greatest teams in any Irish sport ever?
Incredible team. We've never seen the like in any sport.
Possibly. In any sport, possibly.
I don't even know how you bold in a tweet. Superb day, all told. Hands up in the air.
I think Shane Ross must have been beside me there somewhere in those seats.
I think that it's not something that Leinster fans will have in the pit of their stomach. I'm it's interesting that you both have a differing opinion on this. That, Jerry, you're obviously trying to keep up appearances here by saying that the rivalry is not going to come back. Adrian, clearly,
I'm not saying that. I'm actually saying that Munster have done a good job of trying to get this back because they've got a bunch of kids coming through. And actually, it turns out they don't really need Joey Carberry. They've got two brilliant young out halves who should be getting game time sooner rather than later, rather than taking players from Leinster. Now Carberry's there, he should stay. Fair play. I hope he's an amazing career and I wish him all the best and we'll be cheering him on anytime he plays, right? 100%. But stop looking over there, New Sephora. Stop playing God. Stop going, ooh, what if I had a little bit of this and ooh. It's like mad scientist stuff and it doesn't make any sense because the rivalry matters. You should feel in the pit of your stomach that this game matters more than any of the other games this year because ultimately there will be bragging rights. Now, we don't see any human beings anymore, so those bragging rights are all online and you just end up sounding like complete whatever. But in real life, it would be nice to be able to go, oh, your team aren't so good. That's the whole point of sports rivalry. That's what the Liverpool and Man United fans have. They live cheap by jowl. But it's going. It's coming back, I would argue, because Munster have got their house in order and the investment that they've made in their underage structures over the last decade are finally beginning to show some signs of life.
So you were wrong, basically. The rivalry isn't that.
No, I was not wrong. I'm glad the IRFU have heeded my advice, Owen.
Okay, well, I guess we've done some service then. I'm actually just honoured to be in part of the show that managed to affect IRFU policymaking.
What have we done to you that has aged you so badly?
I've got a scar on my face and a bit of facial hair. I think they are the two appreciable differences. And
well,
also,
I mean, we spent a lot of the last. I would think in the intervening period between that conversation and this, we spent a lot of the last time talking about the impact of the World Cup on the players, and we're really missing the elephant in the room here, which is the impact of the World Cup on Owen.
Rua says nonsense. Interpros are the best Irish auditions. See, that they're not supposed to be auditions. They're supposed to be in and of themselves. James Lynch says the rivalry is currently napping. It's dead, says BC. Munster need to be on Leinster's level for there to be a rivalry. It's not dead, but it isn't as lively as it used to be due to less competition in the Irish camp. Don't get me wrong, there's still competition, but I don't think it's as competitive. Michael Bolton, not so much dead, just that the dynamics have changed. It died the minute Joey Carberry went to Munster, says Pierce O'Connor. Eric dead? No, but definitely declining due to Irish players being rested for the game. Len O'Gorman, it'll never die. It lives through the supporters. Sarah Maher says Leinster will never have that iconic standing that Munster have in the rugby world, and Harry says yes, it's dead. Munster just aren't a challenge anymore.
Leinster will never have that iconic standing in the rugby world as Munster will have. That's why it's comments like that that will mean that this rivalry will never die. Nonsense like that.
I mean, it's brilliant that Sarah has said that because that should be one of the barriers that they are banners that they put up around the RDS. Whether or not Leinster are usually winning, the rivalry doesn't just die, especially when those two teams are two European giants that can beat anyone on their day. It's about the clash of the two big clubs, not the result. Munster can indeed beat anyone on their day, just not Leinster. Isn't that the... we're introducing a new cold take section on Friday. Is this finally, Owen, the bit where the stop clock is correct and Munster beat Leinster?
I think so. I think Munster are going to beat Leinster at the weekend. And let's not forget that they beat them in that game that we so often reference, that Carberry ragdoll moment. Like 2018-19 was their last win against Leinster. It's not like 40 years ago. It's not like Mayo here. Like there have been wins for Munster over the last few years.
Yeah.
Two in the last six.
In all the big games. Peter M says, amazing how Ger and Adrian will blast the Dubs when it comes to money, but nothing said about Leinster and the huge backing the IRFU give them as Irish players leave other teams in Ireland. Zeebo and Ryan left Ireland to give Leinster players contract. I mean, I am Ryan's biggest fan. I've like literally called for him to be in the Ireland team as recently as like 5 weeks ago. I definitely think we love Zeebo and Ryan. I thought it was ridiculous that Zeebo wasn't given the money that he was. He was exactly what that team needed. Bear in mind they didn't pick him for a big game. Do you remember? Do you remember there was a big game in Europe where he had to come off the bench?
TV Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.